You are listening to the ForceCom Frontline, bringing you to our soldiers on the front lines of readiness. Hey everyone, welcome to the ForceCom Frontline. I'm Ashley and I'm your host. Last episode, we talked with First Lieutenant Amber English, and she talked with us about her accomplishments over the last few years, like winning gold at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics and how the Army has made some of those things possible. And today we have a similar story and guest. Joining me is Sergeant First Class Brian Colvin, who is the enlisted aide for the Commandant of the U.S. Army War College, located in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He recently participated on the Food Network's CHOP TV show during their Military Salutes series, and he won the Army episode, which led him to compete in the series finale with chefs from other services against Food Network All-Stars. Sergeant First Class Colvin has held a number of jobs within the Army and is here today to talk with us about all of his experiences. So welcome, Sergeant Colvin.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks for having me.
Like I mentioned, we stumbled upon the episode that you were on, and I was like, surely this isn't new. I hadn't seen anything about it. And then right after the episode aired, I started seeing all of this traffic about how this had happened and then how you had won. And I'm excited that I get to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, I am excited to talk to you as well. It's been a great experience all the way through.
I'm sure. So before we get too far, I want to just have you introduce yourself and talk about where you're from, how long you've been in the Army, that sort of thing.
Understood. Easy enough. So I've been in the Army for about 17 years and some change now. Initially started in 2004. I was in the National Guard, was doing that for a little bit, but I really liked the Army life and the whole lifestyle that was going into it. So I ended up transitioning back over to active duty at that time and was stationed in the 101st Airborne.
Okay.
Where I did deployment. I was a line medic at the time and all that good stuff. This is coming from Wisconsin, where I was raised.
Okay.
So a little bit of a weather change. I wasn't complaining too much because if you didn't know, there are the four seasons in Wisconsin are winter, almost winter, kind of winter, and road construction. So
I feel
didn't really
that.
Mind moving over to Tennessee and Kentucky. After that, me and my wife, we ended up moving to Fort Belvoir, Virginia. Yeah, Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And I wanted to try something a little bit new. I'd been promoted to sergeant, and EOD was kind of knocking at the door. Saw the opportunity my first day there on the job training. I got to see the commander and the first sergeant, captain and first sergeant, still doing their job as EOD techs, even at that high rank. And I was immediately sold. So I decided to go down that path and give that a try. Eventually, I passed school, which was down at Eglin Air Force Base. Destin is beautiful, by the way, so if you ever get an opportunity, go check it out.
So I have to tell you, my husband, before he's in public affairs now, but he was EOD, and he always talks about Destin. He always talks about the Gulf, so I get it.
Yep, McGuire's. That's a staple in the community. Always got to go to McGuire's.
But I didn't want to interrupt you. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. Let's see. What was that? I went over to Fort Riley, Kansas, did EOD for a little bit. And I've done so many good things, and the Army has given me so many opportunities. I saw recruiting come up. And I looked at it as this awesome opportunity where I might be able to help other young men and women kind of find a way.
That's awesome.
Through the Army. And there'd only been a small handful of us EOD techs who actually went to a regular recruiting side, not the special ops side. So we were paving a trail, went down to Miami Recruiting Battalion, did that for a few years. I know I made an impact in at least a few people's lives, and it was a great experience. Tough, really tough. Holy cow, tough.
I bet.
But it was a good experience overall. Came back to Fort Riley, Kansas, did EOD for a little bit. And during that time frame, I had been selected to be an enlisted aide. So they sent me through all the culinary training, the advanced culinary training, and all that jazz. And eventually I was graced and blessed to be picked up by Major General David Hill over here at the War College. And I've been his enlisted aide ever since.
How awesome. So I have to backtrack a little bit. When were you at Fort Riley?
Fort Riley. Okay, let's see. 2013 to 2016. And then 2020 to 2021, I believe.
We missed each other. So my husband was EOD at Fort Riley. And he, I think I left in 2013 and he was shortly behind me. So we just missed crossing paths.
All right. Well, what unit was he in?
Was it the 52nd? Was that? I don't know.
Let's see.
64th?
There's 774, 630th, and 162nd, I think it was at the time.
Oh, it might be 162nd, but I could totally be lying too.
No worries.
I mean, don't remember.
It's amazing how small the army becomes. You know, the longer you stay in, just some way, somehow, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. Awesome. I bet we could probably name a few of the same people, because not everybody left, obviously, when we did. So I'm 100%. Sure you ran into some of the same people.
Yep. I guarantee it.
So that's pretty cool. And like you said, the Army is so small, especially when you get into a career field like EOD. But so an enlisted aide, I've obviously heard about enlisted aides before. And I mean, this is just one of many jobs that you've had, like you just said. But can you talk about an enlisted aide? What is your role? What do you do?
All right. That's a really good question. Really valid. It is a very, very small and hidden broadening assignment job, however you want to look at it. I think it's a diamond in the rough. So an enlisted aide, my sole purpose in life is to relieve a general or flag officer of the minor task and details that would otherwise prevent him or her from completing their daily tasks to the best of their abilities. So it could be any number of different things that I'm doing. One of my big burdens to bear, I guess, if you will, is doing a lot of cooking. And I'm not complaining at all. It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. And they give me a lot of agency over which direction we go with the food. So it's a lot of fun. Outside of that, I am the estate manager for the mansion that he lives in. It's an 8,156 square foot house, and it is incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yep. Outside of that, it's just making sure that he looks good in uniform, making sure that if he needs food, I get it there right away. Just minor tasks and details, you know? It's not a hard job, but it can get filled up with a lot of tasks really quick.
I imagine.
It's still awesome, yeah.
So let me ask you this, because I asked around the office and nobody knew the answer to this. So you're technically still EOD.
Yep.
So will you go to EOD after this? Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like any other broadening assignment, if you will. I'm coming out of my career field to do something extracurricular, like recruiting or drill sergeant or training with industry.
Okay.
I'm still holding on to my MOS. I'm just performing duties in this function until I've completed my mission here and move back to my original
job. That makes total sense now. So is there a length on it, though? Can you only do it for 2 years, 3 years? How does that work?
It's really dependent on what the mission set here is. Usually it's a 2-year tour. It can be up to 3 or 4 years, depending on the general or flag officer and what they have going on, or if there's a transition period where they're bringing in a new general officer. You got to stay flexible. That's what it boils
sure.
down to.
Okay. And so going back to the cooking, were you always into cooking?
So I like to cook. I wasn't cooking at the level I am now. I really got into it when I was at Fort Riley, Kansas the first time. I was down there, started getting into barbecue or smoking meat. And some way, somehow, I got linked up with two incredible barbecue teachers, I guess you could say, a Buddy and Bobby Cox. And they had their restaurant, Cox Brothers Barbecue, down there. They've got a couple of restaurants now, but absolutely incredible people. And they taught me everything
wow.
that I know about smoking meat, and really got me on the path to looking at a higher form of cooking, and started really getting into it at that point. And then at that point, when I was on a recruiting duty, everybody knows they get those random solicitation emails every once in a while, like, hey, join Special Forces
sure.
or look into civil affairs. Well, I got one that said, hey, you want to go to culinary school? Well, yeah, why not? So I submitted my packet. About a year later, I heard back saying, hey, you got accepted. So I went through culinary school with
how
the
cool.
Army through the basic and advanced culinary, which if anybody ever has a chance to go to advanced culinary school, whoo, that is something else.
How awesome. I mean, did people think you were a good cook? Like, I mean, when they ate your food?
I mean, good, palatable.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I feel like it has worked out. Going on Chopped and with those ingredients that they randomly give you and being able to put something together that's edible. That's pretty awesome. So let's talk about Chopped. You were the Army champion and you competed against three other Army chefs for that title and then went on to the finale where you worked with chefs from the Navy, Air Force, and Marines. So how did this happen and how did you find yourself on Chopped?
So crazy story. You remember those solicitation emails I told you about?
Yes.
Well, it happened again. So I got the solicitation email. I kind of talked to some of my friends about it. Some really, really good coworkers that I really bounced my ideas off of and just have supported me and I've supported them through their careers. Lieutenant Dalton Stone, Lieutenant Sean Bowen, Sergeant Danny Somerville. Great individuals. I hope they just absolutely skyrocket in their careers. Great leaders in and of themselves. And then I brought it up to my wife and I was like, you know, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do it. She's like, you're going to do it. So I did it, you know, household six rules all. And some way, somehow, once again, they said, hey, you're going to be on Chopped. And that's where the rubber hit the road.
Yeah. How amazing. What was that experience like?
Oh, it was something else. You know, as soon as you set foot on the stage, it really is a stage. You walk into this big warehouse and you're just looking around like, this is not a kitchen at all. Walk through the doors and there's this beautiful kitchen with all these camera guys, about 30 people with cameras. You see the judges sitting up there and you're just like, oh God, they're going to destroy
me. Apart.
Yeah. And it's surreal to think that you've been watching this for however many years and all of a sudden now you're in the kitchen with the burners going on, you know, rear end kick butt, and you can't hear anything outside of just chop, 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 time.
I mean, it just is. I maybe this is something you had imagined, but was it? I mean, did you ever think, you know, by joining the Army, you would find yourself on a Food Network TV show?
Absolutely not. Nope, no way.
I mean, it's incredible. I had another question too. Oh, so Chopped, for those who might not be familiar with it, you essentially, they give you a box of random ingredients and you have to get all of the ingredients into whatever dish you make. So I know one of the things that you were given was something on, I'm not saying the word, it's the bread one with the stuff on the top.
Stuff on a shingle, yeah.
Yes. Yep. So how did you come up with what you ended up making with these ingredients?
So
under pressure too.
Yeah, under pressure. I mean, it's go with God at that point. That's what it boils down to. But everything I really do here at the War College is small and intricate, delicate, you know, amuse-bouche or appetizers. There's your $20 word for the day, amuse-bouche. But the big thing is finding a way to take this hot trash they give you and turn it into something that's hot and edible.
Yeah.
SOS. I mean, every ingredient they give you, you just have to use a part of the ingredient. You don't have to use the whole thing. So you have to find what really works for you. I think one of the chefs there used the chipped beef within the gravy that was there. I found the gravy to be actually not bad at all, just really, really salty. So able to smooth that out. Outside of that, quail eggs, I was trying to go for a nice soft boiled egg. Well, quail eggs are the devil. So if you ever get a chance to work with them, give it a try. Just smoothing that out using the Pillsbury Doughboy dough. That's the best way I can describe it. Then what was the last one? Breakfast radishes.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not as bitey as a regular radish. So yeah. I figured I'd pickle that up and really round out all the flavors that I had on there. And
just
kind of complementing the flavors. That's what it boiled down to.
Sure. And I know I said I watched it, but I didn't think I was going to talk to you at the time when I watched it. So I didn't ingrain all of the details. But was there, during each round, did you get all the ingredients on the plate?
Yes, I got all the ingredients on each plate. However, in the first round, one of the chefs, Chef Irizarry, I still talk to him today. Great dude, incredible chef. I mean, holy cow.
Oh, I remember him. Far.
Yep. I mean, if he would not have forgotten the breakfast radishes on his plate, he would have mopped the floor with us. Absolutely incredible chef.
I remember watching him and thinking, wow, he's going to go home because he forgot that one ingredient. Yeah. And that's
his
what
dish
happened.
Was out of this world, man. He is a good chef. Yep.
I do think, and like I said, I watched it with my husband. When we got to that third round, I kind of pegged you and there was another female from the 25th ID who ended
Chef
up going
AJ.
To the second or the third round with you. I kind of thought it was going to be you two in the end, and I got it right. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But can you talk about what it's like competing against your peers? We talked about this a little bit before with small career fields in the Army, but I would assume that the enlisted aid career field is probably even smaller than what most would think. So did you know any of them? And, you know, what was that experience like?
Yes, absolutely. I did know one of the chefs on there, Chef Deshanta Mears, Sergeant Mears. I knew her from Advanced Culinary. We went to school together.
Okay.
Both graduated honor grad from the school and everything. She is a hoot. very great personality. Nice person to be around. When I saw her, it was calming. Just now that I know somebody there, especially in the fact that we'd been cooking together, we've seen each other, we know each other. It just made everything seem less intense. Like,
sure.
I could actually complete the task, climb that mountain. So
yeah.
it was really nice to work with her. Yep.
So I've read some things. I mean, because now your name's out there, you won this show, that you talked about how your EOD training really helped you when it came down to the time limit that you all had to cook these dishes. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yep. So for those who don't know, EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal, we have the motto, initial success or total failure. And the way we start to view our lives and view the way we do our mission, it can be a little bit morbid, but it truly is, you're either going to do it right or it becomes somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
You come in, you do your best on that dish, then you're done. It's no longer your problem. Same thing with, anything you do in life. You know, if you're writing your college paper, you do your due diligence, do the research, write it up, shoot it out there, and it's no longer your problem. It's onto the professor to grade it.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not going to lie. You say that, and I feel like I kind of live my life that way.
It's a great way to live. It takes a lot of stress off you.
Yeah. You made me think of something, too, and I know that I've said this on the podcast before. Before my husband deployed as EOD, he sat me down and he had me watch Hurt Locker.
Oh, God.
but he said, this is everything that I'm not going to do when I deploy. So this is a good reason. This is why you should watch it, because we do things much safer. But talking about initial success or total failure made me think of that. But, you know, one of the things that really stands out to me in talking with you is that you've embraced every opportunity that the Army has provided for you. You switch jobs, you learn new skills, sought out ways to make yourself better. Did you ever imagine any of this when you joined?
Absolutely not. I figured I was just going to be a medic. I was wanting to go special forces, be the cool guy, Green Beret, Ranger, blah. You know, be that guy that you wanted to be as a kid growing up. And eventually things took a turn and just put a roadblock in front of those options, and finding a new avenue in which I could just live that same dream the best that I could. I mean, that's where it's at.
Yeah. So going back to the enlisted aid part, so is it something that you could do again? So say you finish what you're doing now, you go back and you do EOD for a little. Is it something that you could come back to?
Yep, absolutely.
Is that something that you might see in your future, being that, you know, you've gotten into this culinary stuff and you seem to be doing pretty well with it?
I mean, it's always a possibility. I've done a lot of planning in my life where I've tried to get everything, all the ducks in a row. And
sure.
At this point, I'm just pumping the brakes and letting life take me where it needs to. So that's where I'm at with it.
Well,
if it comes up, it comes up.
I guess you are at 17 years now. So, yeah. I mean, you're I'm assuming, getting to the end of the road, per se. So you're probably looking at things a little bit differently than maybe you were 5 years ago.
Right. Yep.
So you talked about being a recruiter before. So I just want to ask, what would you say to somebody who's on the fence about reenlisting, or maybe a high school grad trying to figure out what they're doing or what their next move should be? What would you say to them about the Army?
All right. This is such a great question. And I've actually talked with Sergeant Major Dave Silva about this, the EOD Sergeant Major. And I'm not worried about, you know, my name being out there and getting that 15 minutes of fame or whatever. That's cool. It's going to be over and nobody's going to remember who I am. But I want everybody to remember that you can do basically anything you want to do. Your stars aren't set. You want to come in and you want to get some skill sets, learn how to do administrative tasks and do business admin. Come in as a 42 Alpha where you're an admin specialist. Then you can change it up a bit. If you want to go special forces, it's there. If you want to go training with industry, that's a great broadening assignment where you're working with subject matter experts. That's if you're staying in.
Yeah.
If you want to come in, just give it a try. The world's your oyster. You get to choose your job in the Army.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of going to war and to combat, guess what? Don't pick that job. Go be a culinary specialist and learn how to cook amazing foods.
Yeah.
Go learn how to be a mechanic and learn how to work on those big engines and tanks, or how to do small engines and things like that, and take that out into the civilian world.
Right.
And make buku bucks. Cause I don't know if you've seen your bill going to the auto shop lately, but I just dropped a, you know, pretty penny and my wallet hurts real bad.
Yeah.
It's give it a try. If you don't want to, at least, or the best way to put it, let's see, if you have even the slightest interest in it, you need to at least research it, look into it.
Yeah.
If not, you're going to regret it. I mean, that's one of the big things I had with wanting to be the Special Forces and Ranger Cat. I waited and waited and waited because I never thought I was ready. And then in Iraq, I got injured and I just couldn't really do it anymore.
Yeah.
I couldn't pass the physical if I wanted to. So that's where that regret comes in. If you feel you want to do it, stop and go after it. Give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, it's the worst that's going to happen is somebody's going to say no. Don't tell yourself no. Let somebody else tell you no.
I love that. And I think you're right. There are so many opportunities within the Army. And so many of the things that you can do in the Army, you can transition out of the Army with. I mean, you're cooking now. Who's to say you can't open a restaurant later on in life, you know, continue cooking, that sort of thing. I mean, even with EOD, there are options to, you know, take it to the contractor world and continue doing stuff like that. Literally, I think almost anything that you would do in the Army, you can transition out of the Army with and have yourself set up for success in the future.
100%. Not only that, with all the programs I have for people who are getting ready to, exit the Army or retire from it, you can go get yourself a trade skill. You're still able to go through college. I am working on my master's degree right now with tuition assistance. I'm not paying I'm paying maybe $50 for books, but okay. But for my bachelor's, I didn't pay a dime for that.
Right.
And that's something that you can still do. And then you have the GI Bill, which is paying for all your college plus books plus BAH, or a basic allowance for housing, so you don't have to live in the dorms. You can go get yourself an apartment. I mean, you're getting me excited. You're getting me on my soapbox with recruiting here. You know, I really hope recruiting takes this story, not me. I'm not worried about that. But they take the story, just shoot it out there and show that you can do anything you want. It's amazing the opportunities you have.
Yeah. I know you're not looking for your 15 minutes of fame or whatever it is, but I think that you're a great representation of everything that the Army can do for you and what you can do with yourself in the Army. I mean, to have gone from a medic to, you know, enlisted aide, EOD, was there something else in there? Recruiter. I mean, talk about really being able to spread your wings a little bit, as cliche as that sounds, and just kind of find your niche, whatever that word is. it's awesome. I had this in the back of my head and I don't want to forget to ask you, what is you talked about barbecue. Is that your favorite thing to cook?
Oh, I love me some barbecue. I tell you what, there's nothing better than being able to sit out at your barbecue, whatever pit you've got, whether it's an offset, you got a tall boy smoker, you got a little bullet smoker, you name it. Nothing better than sitting there, watching that fire burn, keeping that wood going in,
Yeah.
and just keeping that temperature rising. You smell the barbecue. You're getting the flavor of hickory kind of basted into your skin. And after hours of just relaxing, watching this meat, you get to pull off something absolutely incredible that everybody enjoys. Because to me, barbecue isn't so much a type of cooking, because everybody calls barbecue, what they're doing. They're on a grill, they're on a propane, and they call it barbecue.
Yeah.
And some people will get up in arms about that, and they're very sacrilegious, like, oh, barbecue is smoking meat. Well, barbecue to me is an event where everybody comes together. And for me, smoking the meat, that type of barbecue where everybody gets to come and enjoy, a nice big plate of pulled pork or a good couple dozen racks ribs.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So my husband just got a smoker, and so he's getting into it. And we've done, what did we did like a turkey breast the first time, and it came out
Okay.
amazing. Experimented with some ribs. They weren't terrible, but I felt like they could have been more tender. And we've done a couple of dips, which were
Ooh,
amazing.
yes, absolutely.
Oh my goodness. We did like a street corn dip, and we did a queso dip in the smoker. We were phenomenal. So at first I was like, you really want a smoker? Are you going to use it? And now I'm like, what can we do next?
Absolutely. If you can think about it, you can put it on a smoker. I guarantee it.
That's what I keep telling him. I was like, how about chicken wings? How about this? How about that? Let's do it all.
100%.
Yeah, so we are figuring it out. All right. Well, like I said before, I think that you represent something great that the Army can offer. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me to share your experience and talk about Chopped. Like I said, I watched it. I didn't think I'd get to talk with you, but I'm glad we were able to work it out.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you gave me this opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
100%, ma'am.
That's it for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can also find full video episodes of our podcast on YouTube. You can just search for the Force Comm Frontline, and we'll see you next time on the Frontline.